Hello and welcome to all who are watching us today and joining us live. This is the Spiritual, Intuitive and Holistic Business Circle. I'm Andrea Cowdy. I'm a content strategist and I'm here today with Karen McGilvray, psychic medium. And today we are talking about your spiritual practice. Is it a hobby or a business, or versus hobby business? Okay. So our first item on the agenda. Hi, Kerry.
Hello. Hi, everyone.
I should let you get a word in or two. I'm just so used to doing my lives by myself on a daily basis.
Hi, everyone. Can't wait to chat today. We have some great topics, so I would love to see what you all think.
I'm just going to bring it up on the screen. So, yes, come on. Sometimes the live can be a bit temperamental. There we go. Our first topic. What is the difference between a spiritual business and a hobby?
Oh, juicy. Very juicy topic. To me, there's a really big difference between a hobby and a business. And for most people in the spiritual industry, a lot of them actually only do it as a hobby. Very rarely do they actually take it to that next level and go to the full-time space of actually being in a business. So there is a really big difference when it comes to being in a hobby and a business. So hobby is just something fun that you do whenever you feel like it, or whenever you feel that you can, you know, you might just go to the fairs every year and that's it. That just might be what you do. You occasionally see clients in between, but you don't actually look at it as something that can replace your existing full-time income. So to me, a hobby is just something that you do on the side of whatever you normally do, and it's just basically extra cash, like play money, right? Whereas a business, a spiritual business, is a completely different setup. You do need to look at it really differently. And it's all about kind of stepping into that space of, if you are really called to do this work and this is your soul calling, then you need to allow the universe to support you. So you need to then treat it as a business and give the money and the energy exchange the respect that it deserves, so that it can actually support you financially. So when you start looking at it in a business sense, you do need to, and I mean, we are all spiritual and we've discussed this before, that we need to pay attention to our energetic alignment with how we want to do business. But we do need to pay attention to making sure that we actually treat it that way. So, you know, if it was your own business and your only source of income, that means that you can't just call in sick. Do you know what I mean? You need to kind of really be in it and be all in. It's kind of like a game of poker in that sense. You know, you've got to go all in and really give it everything that you've got if you really are interested in a business. You need to learn things like sales and marketing. You know, you need to learn how to do the accounts. You need to make sure that you're doing things right in the tax side of things. So you need to make sure you have a good accountant. You know, you want to make sure that you tick all the right boxes so that you let the universe know that you're deadly serious, that you got the message, and this is the way you're going to go.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that, Kerry. I just call this, and I use this expression quite a lot when I say, you know, having enough skin in the game, where you actually do all those businessy things. And it's not just like friends and family, because I know from a reader perspective or a healer perspective, you know, it's easy to do it for friends and family because you don't really have skin in the game. But when you do, when you stop looking at your business as a hobby, you have a lot more skin in the game, or you need to, and you have to accept the fact that you need to have a lot of skin in the game. And this is what I find with a lot of people that I work with, is that even when they come to me, they don't really acknowledge just the extent that they need to be in it for it to be a business instead of a hobby. And And for someone who runs their spiritual practice as a hobby, it's not really worth engaging someone like me.
No.
But they know that they need to in order to be able to grow. So it's like we spoke about this before. It's not the line. It's not this thin line that you just need to jump over. It isn't. It's this whole band that you're walking for quite a while before you go from one to the other, and some of the lines are blurred and all that. So yeah, definitely when you've got skin in the game, and by skin in the game I mean when you're willing to do more than just you know, what makes you feel good, which is your readings, doing readings or doing spiritual counseling or doing healings and all that. Because it's really easy to feel good with those things, isn't it?
Absolutely.
When you do your readings, like, because you're all in that high vibe state, and oh yeah, you know, doing this, and I'm getting all this stuff and all that, which is really good because, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. But then, you know, if you are not adding all that other stuff that you just talked about before, Kerry, all the, you know, the marketing and the sales and, you know, all that, you know, like the really, really low vibe stuff. I just call it the low vibe stuff. Then that just shows that you don't have enough skin in the game.
Yes. Yeah. Very much so. I definitely agree with the skin in the game analogy. I like that one. I also like the band. It's almost like the, have you ever seen that meme where it's like, I don't mind, you know, when one door closes and another door opens, but damn, these hallways are a bitch. And that's what the whole thing's like, right? Because you close one door and you want to go down the whole business track, but sometimes it's a really long hallway to come out the other side and actually go, woohoo, I did it. Do you know what I mean? So it's a business is a completely different way of looking at it. And what I find, like, the ones who stay in hobby, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? If you only want to do it as a hobby, and that's perfectly okay. That's your choice. But if you feel the call to be bigger, then you need to start thinking like a business, because in order for you to get bigger and take it to that next level, that's what you have to do. And with that whole business side of it, you know, you need to take steps towards that. That means you need to get an ABN. You need to have, you know, your accounts in order and all that kind of mundane, boring stuff. Have to be addressed. And I can't remember where I was going. That's okay. It's probably going to lead into the next question.
That's not unusual.
Nah, totally lost track. That's okay.
So
it'll come
back. I'm sure it will. It usually does. Comes full circle. Okay, so let's talk about how people know when they are ready to turn their spiritual hobby practice into a spiritual business practice. How do people know when they're ready?
To me, I feel like from my personal experience, when I started as a hobby, like most do, and to me it was just, the more and more I did readings, the more and more I did healings and mentoring and teaching and all those things, the bigger the pull was to do it full time. Like, it was just so powerful, the pull, and it was like, this is your calling. What are you doing, wasting your time doing this other stuff, you know, this corporate gig, you know, what are you doing? That's just not who you are. You need to be stepping into this. And, you know, I mean, we get our own guidance, and that's part of the thing. You know, you get the big push, and I was feeling the push. And when I felt the push, I decided that it was time to follow, because every time I didn't follow it when I was told, you know, the pushes were a little bit harder. And I think we've touched on that before, but, you know, you need to pay attention to your body and what your body's telling you, as well as what your soul is craving. And it may not mean that, you know, sometimes it means that you need to go down this path in a full-time business like fashion to get you to your next soul's purpose, right? Mm. It doesn't mean that you have to be in that particular space forever, because we expand as a human, as a spiritual soul. It's not just about that one step forward. It's about, you know, 20. So, but we only ever get the one at a time, especially mm. if you're impatient like me. They won't give me the roadmap. So you have to take it one step at a time, because otherwise you skip ahead and you don't get the whole value of it, apparently. This is why you need, like, taking your step from a hobby into a business and actually stopping looking at what you do. This is what I forgot before, where so many people in hobby look at this thing that they do as a gift. And when you teach psychic development, it's not a gift. Yes, what you do is amazing and not everyone does it, but that's their choice. They don't want to tune into that. So it's not actually a gift. You're not given this special gift. Mm. Every single one of us can tune into that, right? So when you stop looking at it as a gift and start looking at it as a tool that people can access to help them get through life, then you're no different to any other, you know, professional who offers support, right? Mm. You're just one of their tools in the tool bag, so to speak, that people go to. You know, people go to their naturopath when it comes to, you know, allergies or gut health or anything like that. And they go to their GP when they break their toe. You know, it just becomes, they go to their psychic when they need that spiritual guidance. Mm. So you just become one of those tools in their tool bag, and eventually the hope is that one day those people will awake enough to connect it themselves. But in the meantime, you're there to support them until they do. So the biggest shift that I see is when they go from that gift mindset when they're in hobby to it actually being of service when they're in business.
Mm.
It's a really big mind shift.
I think you hit the nail on the head there when you said they go from hobby into service, because in order to be able to serve, there needs to be some sort of a compensation, and also leaving that mindset of, because being in hobby or practicing it as a hobby is a mindset. And yes. It kind of puts out that vibe that, yeah, I'm casual about it. You know, something comes along, you know, I give it come through as a calling. And when you want to provide these services as a service, as in being in service of others, then from a client point of view, you know, I'd rather be served by someone who has that mindset that they want to be of service. It's not just something that they do as a, like, a, on a casual basis, you know, like, oh yeah, I did a couple of readings for my friends on the weekend, which we said that there is nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all.
But for those that, you know, that are out there who are willing to pay for this service, they want someone who has that element of calling, and they build that into serving others.
Yes.
I think. And like you said, that's the mindset shift. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And if you want to reference it to others, like, I mean, psychics tend to be, and healers, like energy healers and psychics tend to be people who are in spiritual service, right? So that's what they do. They bring spiritual guidance, and they're in the zone of spiritual service. And, you know, people will probably shoot me for this analogy, but we're not, and I'm thinking about saying it a lot, but we're not really that different to a priest, right? In the fact that, like, there's a lot of similarities. So a priest in a church, if you think he's doing it out of the goodness of his heart, he could be, but he's still getting paid, right? Because he can't eat off nothing. So he still gets paid for what he does. Yes. It just may not come from you directly. That's the only difference.
Exactly.
he's still getting paid from the church to look after his community. And it's no different to us. It's just the only difference is that we're getting paid one-on-one because we don't have that church or community that can pay us at a different level, right? So we're no different.
It's a lot of infrastructure. Yeah.
It is. And so many of us don't work under that big umbrella because they just don't have that setup, that infrastructure, like you said. So it's really no different. And a lot of people will go to a priest for spiritual guidance. You know, back in the day when I had to go to church, that's what you did. You went to the priest, you sat in confession, you prayed for whatever it was that you did wrong, and on your way. You know, it's not really that much different to when you sit there and actually talk to a psyche. The only difference is that they use different language.
Yeah. I think there's hundreds of years of conditioning there, but I think that's for another BeLive show. Yeah.
That's a whole different kettle of fish, and we like to open cans of worms, right?
Yeah. If you're watching, we might cover something like this, you know, a little bit later on down the track. But I think, it's still, and this is a recurring theme that keeps coming back through our conversations, is that spirituality, especially that is not practiced within the main religions, when you want to practice, and especially when you want to make a living out of it, it's looked at as something dirty or something non-divine. I don't even know what expression I could use for this, but it's looked at as, you know, something second grade and it's something to be ashamed of and all that, and even though we are slowly coming out of this mindset as free thinking and, you know, the ability to speak to practice religion freely and all that is becoming more and more accepted around the world, there's still, that is a big mountain to climb. And perhaps this is one of the reasons why a lot of people who could take into a business never do, because this contributes to their mindset as well. So even though they would like to, they would like to take it to the level of business where they can make a decent income out of it, they never do because of this belief that it's fear
of judgment.
That is juicy, and this brings me to us actually. By the way, we've got a couple of people watching. So, hey everyone, thanks for joining. I hope you're enjoying your time with us, and thank you for sharing your lunchtime with us. If you're watching us during the lunch break, we appreciate you being here. Hang on, we've got a question here from Natasha before we jump on to our next point in our agenda. So I'm just going to bring it up on screen. And she says, how could you not help someone who is in need of help? I'm an artist helping the community with the elderly tomorrow, not getting paid but happy to do it. Natasha is talking about, which is a completely different ballgame again, which is, you know, being in service, but only an aspect of being in service.
Yes. What do you think, Kerry? Well, look, there's absolutely nothing wrong with doing something that you're not paid for. Like, everything that I put out on my page is free, right? Mm. Unless it's a paid service that I actually offer, everything that I put out there is free. And that's my way of helping those who can't afford to buy my services. So, you know, every week I'm giving away stuff for free, and there's occasionally I will do, you know, this whole program that we're running is free, and it's getting all of our insights. So we're giving quite a lot to the community, and it's always something that you need to be wary of, and it's, you just need to honour your energy in that space when you do that, because you need to make sure that you're not over-giving to your own detriment. That's the only thing. Exactly. I would never say that you can't give away anything for free, because absolutely agree. What's the point, right? We're here to help others, and if that's your calling, to help others, then do what you feel is right. But if you want to take it to the level where you need it to support you, at some point you're going to have to make the call that you're only going to give so much to respect your own energy and the rest will be paid.
Yes, thank you for sharing with us, Natasha. She's saying that she has to apply for an odd job to support her family. And interestingly, this is related to some things that Kerry and I were talking about just seconds before we went live today, about how you can have an everyday job and a spiritual practice at the same time. And sometimes you need to, sometimes for your own well-being, you need to do that. And there is no shame in doing that at all, even if you've been running your practice for a while and you feel like you need more. There is no shame in going for a job, you know, while you continue to run your spiritual practice. It is, you do what you have to create abundance for yourself. And you are in charge of that. So when you make a decision, whether you do this or that, you know, stay in your spiritual practice full time, or you you know, go part time and have a part time job. There's no issue with that whatsoever, because then you look at your part time job as something that creates the abundance for you to be able to continue with your spiritual practice in a manner that you feel comfortable with.
That's right. A lot of people get caught up in that that cycle where, and no one ever said that if you want to run a business that you have to do it full time. There is no rule book that says that if you want to do a business that it must be full time. And I know a lot of people who actually do part-time corporate work, which is completely probably mind-numbing for them, and they couldn't give a rat's ass what they do, but they turn up on time and they leave on time and they don't take anything home with them. And they just, you know, what it does is it takes the pressure off the business so that you don't have this mindset and resentment around your business because it's not bringing in the cash that you then get really attached to the money in the business because you need it to pay everything when you're only doing your business. So sometimes it takes that pressure off and allows the business to grow so much easier than getting caught in that cycle of, panicking about whether you're going to have enough money, because that never works very well.
No, it just creates this catch-22 kind of thing.
Yeah.
Elizabeth is saying that there's a stigma about psychic work which harks back to the victim, harks back to the witch's time, and it's so annoying. I can't wait till being a psychic is cool. I think being a psychic is cool right now, and it has been cool for a long time. We are.
Absolutely. It's cool to all the people that matter. That's all that you need to know, right? Because all the ones who think that believe in the stigma, they're not your ideal client anyway, so who cares? They're not going to bring you any joy, so... get rid of them.
But here's a little, you know, spanner in the works for you. And this is not in our agenda, but, you know, it just popped into my head. So why not just come out with it? What about the people who are practicing their spiritual skills as a hobby, and the only thing that keeps them from taking it to a business level is because they don't want the world out there to know what they're doing? So, like, you don't want your boss to know that you do psychic readings on the weekends, or you don't want your family to know that that you're doing psychic work. That is definitely something that would stop people from taking their spiritual practice from a hobby state and into a business.
I actually went through that.
There really is a stigma around it.
I went through that exact same thing.
Wow.
Yeah. So when I was doing the hobby stage, I didn't want to tell anyone either, right, because I was going through that stage of going, oh, my God, if I tell everyone and then they start asking me questions and I get it wrong, that was my thing, right? If I get it wrong, then I was like, oh, my God, everyone knows, oh, epic fail, you know, like, it was really hard. And then then when I was trying to decide what to call myself, the whole psychic thing popped up, which is very much about the whole stigma. And for me, the stigma that I remembered was psychic always meant to me the gypsies in the side alley with their tarot cards that tell you that everyone was going to die and they were ripping you off. So that was the stigma that I had linked to that word. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm never using the word psychic. I don't want to be linked to that. I don't want any of that. And and then I kind of turned around one day and said, you know what? I have a really awesome opportunity here where I can decide and change that stigma in the world. So it's my choice as to how I present myself as a psychic, and I have the opportunity to show everyone that that's not what it is. So that's the reason why I actually finally used the word. And the world is starting to accept us more. And, you know, I went to a networking event the other day, and what I found is it's all about the language that you use. So I stood up and spoke about using intuition in business. And what I mentioned was I actually didn't really use the word intuition because there were quite a few men in the room. And I knew that if I used the word intuition, they all just would have looked at me with raised eyebrows and thought I was a loony, which I always tell them I'm always the weirdest in the room when I start. So there's no worry there at all that I am the loony in the room.
Rip the band-aid off straight up.
That's right. Rip it off. You know, I own it. That's me. I don't care. But what I did say is that I asked them about their gut instinct, because so many of the world find that that is so much more acceptable. So if you start just using, you slowly introduce them by using words that they already use, which to me is gut instinct. Almost every person will relate to, oh, didn't sit right in my gut, or, you know, whatever instinct it was that came with that. And then you slowly build them up to intuition and you build them up to psychic, and eventually they're converted. So, you know, it's totally up to us to rebrand the word psychic. And we can totally do this, like absolutely totally do this. Sorry, I get a little bit excited.
Yeah, we can. On a tangent, but I can't agree with you more. And look, I've always been out of the psychic closet. I've never been in it. I've always been open about what I'm doing, my paranormal work, my psychic work, previous to, you know, this business that I was in. I've always been open about it, but because I did that because I knew that whatever anyone threw at me, I could handle. And that's just me. I would rather keep it to themselves because they feel like they just don't want to deal with the backlashes. And especially when you're in business, I think once you bring this into it, people start to get a little bit funny because they, I don't know what they think. They think that you're going to read their thoughts and steal their business ideas, or I don't know, conjure up some entity and, you know, make them mess up their business and all that sort of stuff. So
all of those conversations.
Really weird ideas that people have about what we actually get memes, you know, with the six pictures of, you know, what my friends think I do, what my mum thinks I do, what my boss thinks I do, and blah, blah, blah. At the end is what I actually do, you know.
Yeah,
it's one of those.
Read a book and read a book.
We should make one for psychics. we have a comment here from Janine, and she says, I'm going to put it up on the screen. She says, if I could just say, I really believe that what is most important is that regardless of readings as a hobby, it's so important that you are experienced enough to deliver the information and have the complete ethics in doing so. Yes, is
totally
all I can
agree.
Say. Yes.
100% hands up, totally agree.
Yep, absolutely. I'm a big believer in, you know, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Should.
As a psychic. Yeah, Maybe
that
we should
comes
do a show
down to
about
experience.
that
Well, it all comes down to experience, right? And that, like, if your
too.
hobby, so to speak, you're only doing a reading once every 6 months, then you probably don't have the experience to go full time into a business. Do you know what I mean? You need to be doing them a lot more regularly. You want to be doing readings every week or going to fairs every month, something where you're getting a lot more experience on a regular basis, because it needs to be something that you do. It's like any skill. It's a skill, and it needs to be actually honed and practiced, and you need that experience.
You do, but this is like with everything, if you are a hobby whatever, you
Make candle.
I'm desperate to find an example now,
Candles.
now I'm trying to find something that that really can interfere with people's lives.
A hobby mechanic.
Just because, that, or if you're a babysitter,
Yes.
and you babysit kids, once in a while, it doesn't mean that you're qualified to go and be an early childhood teacher.
Teacher. Yeah. Very much so.
The experience, and you won't have the level of or the depth of experience that is needed for something like that. So absolutely on board with that, Janine. I agree with you. And she says, great live, by the way. I'm going to put that on screen because I can.
Yay.
Awesome. Thanks for coming, Janine. So this kind of brings us to our next question in this topic, which is, the different types of spiritual businesses, and how do you know which one would be the best for you? So
Well,
we
that's
talked about, we talk about spiritual businesses, as psychics in general, but we all know that there's all under that umbrella term, and there is a good diversity of practices that people carry out under the spiritual and holistic and intuitive umbrella. So what
absolutely.
sort of businesses are we talking about, and how do people know what the best one is for them?
Okay, so I actually think that spiritual business isn't defined by what you do. So it's always something that is a work in progress. So when I started my business, readings was all I did. And then I used to do healings for friends and family. So I still kept the healing side of it as friends and family because I was still building that up. And I wanted to, find more of my feet. Even though I used to heal before I used to read, but I find that when it comes to healing, I felt that it's like I just needed more. Like I used to go and get my Reiki certificate and all that kind of stuff. I used to do healing before I got those qualifications. But I find that a spiritual business is always, that's the umbrella term, the spiritual business. And our business evolves. So if you take mine, for example, I do readings. I do healings. I actually sell stock. So at fairs, I have crystals and I have card decks that are actually also part of my business. But I also do workshops and I do mentoring and coaching. So I offer quite a range of services. And I feel that what you should be focusing on when you want to take that step going from hobby to business is just focus on the one thing that you really, really enjoy and that you really feel confident in. And don't worry about the rest when you're starting. Just focus on that one thing and build that well. And then you can expand from there. Because if you go in and you try and do it all at once, you're gonna pull your hair out and energetically you're gonna burn out. So just focus on the one thing and build your audience in that space so that they know where to go. And they'll already love you when you expand and bring in your other services. So
And
that's the big thing.
it's always okay to change into something else if you don't like what you're doing. But I think a lot of people make the mistake of thinking, okay, if I want to take this from a hobby to a business, and I need to learn and do all this other stuff that I need to be able to do 12 different types of healings, and I need to be an expert in 24 other things. And they start amassing this, you know, bits and pieces of questionable qualifications.
Yeah, they start certificate collecting. I call it certificate collecting.
Yes. You can decorate your wall with it, but as far as taking your turning your thing into a business, it's not going to do anything. You'd probably be better off looking at some business qualifications like basic bookkeeping and things like that, because that will help you with that.
Yeah.
So, what I see with a lot of people when you like picking what they what sort of area of a spiritual practice they want to get into, what I see is that they look at someone that they look up to, like their hero, their psychic or spiritual hero or whatever, and they go, oh, that person is doing that. They are doing really well. They are bringing in the money. They look really spiffy and popular and all that, so I'm going to do that. And they start going down on that path, and it starts to feel icky after a while, but they don't realize what it is. When in fact what it is that it just doesn't align with them. It's not what they're supposed to be doing, because this whole thing of spirituality is about self-discovery, isn't it? And yes. And it is about your own personal path and your own personal development and how you're passing on that wisdom that you learned, not the wisdom that you pinched from someone else and borrowed from someone else, but
we were taught by someone. Yes.
Yes.
It's just a line of information.
Which is good. Yeah, and we talked about that in our last show about mentoring and all that, how, you know, the knowledge is passed down and all that, but eventually you have to sort of divest yourself from the teacher that taught you and just stand on your own and find out really who you are without any other spiritual influence. And I think when you go from hobby to business, that is one of the biggest hurdles that people overcome, and some never pass those hurdles, unfortunately.
And we all change anyway, really quickly, didn't it? It did. But we all change, right? You know, we go from hobby to business, and we think we're this person. You know, we're this person over here, and then we get 6 months in and go, oh no, I'm really this person. You know, so we always constantly evolve, and we're constantly going through all these different energy shifts and changes. That as long as we stay true to our actual simple purpose, which for most of us who are in spiritual business is to help and heal others and to be of service, when you get to the actual basics of what we are all about, they're the kind of three main ones. As long as we're true to that, the rest can shift and change with us as we grow. And that's don't have to hold ourselves to the same person that we were when we started the business 3 years ago, because we're just going to do our own head in, and it's just not – it's not going to do you any good.
You know, I say if you're not shifting, if you're not moving, then you're not doing it right.
That's right.
And you're stuck in the same place, stagnating. But my next agenda would have been, you know, the single most important thing that people who want to go from hobby to business need to know. But I think you just covered it.
Pretty much. The simplest thing for me is the mindset.
So it comes down to the biggest struggle you will have, the biggest challenge you will ever have in business is your mindset, and taking it from hobby to business. is a really big struggle in mindset, because, you know, all those things that we've discussed today, where you go from gift to service, and where you go from, you know, actually just accepting whatever donation you might get for your hobby and actually turning it into a service-based business, like those things really toy with your head. And then, you know, like some of my clients have the issue where they're in a full-time job and they're trying to build their business, and they get really stuck at resenting the full-time job when they've got a really, because, you know, they want to jump, right? They want to jump, and they understand that, you know, that's where they really want to be and that's where their heart lies and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, we live in a 3-day world. We need to pay our bills, and you can't just jump from full-time income to something where you're only getting two things a week. You know, it just, it doesn't make any sense, any logical human sense. Spiritually, the spirit's like, ooh, we could totally do this. And your human brain's going, no, we have a bill due next week, right? But so sometimes you have to shift your perspective around working and running a business. And that's a really big mindset shift. And that's something that a lot of people struggle with constantly. So there's so many things when it comes to mindset. And I think one of our topics later on down the track is all about mindset. And we'll go into this a lot deeper then. But that's one of the biggest things that I think people need to really address when they're going from hobby to business, because the rest of it's all just stuff, right? And we can work with stuff, and we can get people to help us with the stuff. And you can get people to help with the mindset too, but that's the biggest part. You'll have to do the work.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think mindset is a word that gets thrown around a lot. And people think it's a decision. I'm just going to change my mindset about it, and it doesn't work like that. You don't just, you know, switch and go, I'm thinking positive about my business from now on. It doesn't work like that. It's a constant challenge, because if you climb a mountain, there's another one. But that's also an opportunity to really reinforce what you learned climbing the previous one.
That's,
you
right.
know, so it's not like, I'm done with mindset, I'm all good now, you know, I'm all good to go. It is one of those things that, yeah, you've done one challenge, you've conquered it, you get a bit of a breather, but then there comes the next one, for which you're going to have to use everything that you learned in all your previous mountain climb challenges.
That's right.
And we're just going to throw this at you because we think you can handle it. And by we, I mean the universe, you know.
Because it's not us, by the way. It's not us.
Yeah, definitely not. I wouldn't throw mountains at anyone. You know, I wouldn't throw stones. Maybe at a few people, but, you know. But, yeah, definitely. My biggest challenge was going from an employee mindset to a business owner mindset, because I didn't even know what a business owner mindset was, even from people who own their own businesses and, you know, share their own wisdom. But to me, it was just a fraction of what it was really like to have to switch that. Yes, I'm in charge, and that's great because I'm the boss, but shit, I'm the boss. I'm in charge of everything, you know. Everything is on me. And that is a big responsibility. And I think another thing that keeps a lot of people from going from hobby to business is because they have, as long as it's a hobby, I can just, you know, clown around with it a little bit. You know, just do it whenever I want. But once it's a business, you don't do it whenever you want to do it. You do it every day, 24/7, because you are a business owner 24/7. You're not a business owner from 9 to 5 or on the weekend between 2 and 4 when you do your readings. You're a business owner 7 days a week, you know, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. And you can't escape.
Doesn't stop. Does not stop. It really doesn't, because your mind's constantly thinking about the business and what you can do and what you can change and what you can make better and, you know, what should I try next, or, you know, where am I going to find my next customer? Because when you take it to a business level, you can't just rely on friends and family anymore, right? So you need to find the next round of customers. So, you know, you need to be able to really dig deep and basically, you know, call in for reinforcements when required. But don't, you know, don't be asking. But don't be asking, you know, like your brother who's always had his, you know, a job and doesn't know anything about business. And, you know, don't ask him for advice unless he knows how to run a business, because you'll just, any mindset work that you have done, he'll undo it in an instant because he's your brother. Like, do you know what I mean? So you just, you got to be mindful where you're getting your advice from. Very big lesson.
Definitely. All right, so what is coming up next week on this broadcast? I'm just bringing it up on the screen. Treating your practice as a business. And we touched a little bit on different aspects of that today, but next week we're going to unpack the whole thing. And we're going to be looking at, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the unexpected.
That's right. Why not?
and all those things. So, yeah, make sure that you're watching at 12 p.m. Sydney time next Tuesday, because we're going to be discussing, Kerry and I will be discussing this this topic, how to treat your practice as a business. And we'll both be sharing our wisdom and the things that we've learned during our startup and our transition phase and all that sort of stuff. So keep an eye on for our get reminder cards that will come up in your newsfeed. And there's something else up our sleeve, Kerry, do you want to talk about it? That's coming up in 2 weeks. I'll bring that up on the screen as well.
So what we're actually doing, because like we've said before, we are really, really committed to helping people in their spiritual and intuitive holistic area, especially the female entrepreneurs, because we understand the struggle, right? We've been there and we really understand it. And so we've actually put up a physical meetup group, and we're going to do that in 2 weeks. It's 4th of September, I think it is, the first Tuesday of every month, out at Campbelltown at the meditation space. And the whole point of that is so, so that we can all connect, because, you know, all these spiritual entrepreneurs, like all of us, that's the thing that we miss the most. With the whole everything online business, we just don't really do that connecting anymore. So we wanted to do a face-to-face connection meetup where people like yourselves who are accessible to Campbelltown, so the meditation space out at Campbelltown, can come along and we can all sit and chat about our experiences, and we can also have a lot of learnings from each other. And we're going to put together some, you know, agenda items like we do for our lives, for those who can't attend. And we're going to start working through some of the things that we need to focus on in our business. So it's all about us coming together as a community and helping each other get further than where we are.
A networking event for people who want that face-to-face connection and who want to connect with other people who are in the same arena and same on the same sort of path. I'm just trying to get the link onto into the comments for this broadcast, but it looks like my internet just can't handle all of these things going on at once. So I'll be popping in once the broadcast ends. So you guys will be able to find it there. If you're watching it now or watching it later, make sure that you sign up for the event if you have the intention of coming. So this is something that Kerry and I have been cooking for a while now. And we thought that it's time to unleash it and see what we can achieve with it for our community. An event for the MacArthur area in Sydney. But if you're outside of that area and you can make it, we'd love to have you. Or if you are outside of the area and would love to have something like this in your area, then let us know and we'll look at it and see whether that's feasible for both of us to do as well.
Oh, so, and just so you all know, the meetup event's actually free. So there's no cost involved in this meetup event. So, you know, like someone mentioned before about when you give away things, right, this is one of our things that we want to give to others because we want to see you grow and we want to help you and we want you to be living your purpose. And if this is your purpose, then by all means, come have a look and see if you enjoy it.
Yeah. Let's build a community where women actually build each other up and are helping each other. So I think we can wrap this up for today. Kerry, what do you think?
Yes, I think so.
I think we shared a lot of information. So don't forget to watch next week on Tuesday at 12 p.m. Tune into our intuitive spiritual and holistic business circle. And I'll pop the link for the meetup on, underneath this video into the comments. So we will both see you guys hopefully next week.
Okay. Bye.